Speaking of 80s porn, you guys hear anything strange in the next few moments? I am just unbuttoning my shirt. Do not be alarmed.
Should I be playing like Barry White right now, or?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that. There's many times that we've loved and we've shared love and made love. It doesn't seem to me like it's enough. It's just not enough, baby. It's just not enough. Oh, oh, baby.
Okay, I'm done now.
Yeah, oh, well, that was quick.
Thanks for playing Barry White for me. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Welcome to episode 23 of One More Podcastle, the capital of Switzerland. My name is Eric Bailey. I really like movies. And I'm the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and the doctors say it's okay for me to go back to work.
My name's Jason Lamb. I'm the resident Canadian and a PC guy, and it's now summer in Canada.
So it's above 0 degrees Celsius? That's summer for you guys up there?
It's, yes.
Wow.
Okay.
You're breaking out them short shorts and those Daisy Dukes?
Yep. You know, oiling up, getting a tan.
He does live in Mexico, after all. You've established
this. I do.
That's right.
Remember.
Yeah. How's your Spanish coming along?
Fantástico.
See, I don't know if that's true. I took French in high school. I didn't take Spanish, so.
We don't have Spanish. We can only take French.
Oh, for real? That's weird.
It's our national language. Well, second act. It's one of our national languages.
Yo quiero es gato un queso.
No.
Con queso.
All right.
Bonjour.
Je m'appelle the Juggernaut. Le Juggernaut.
Ah oui.
Episode title.
Yeah, I guess. You wouldn't say the T. Because there's no vowel at the end.
Juggernaut?
Le Juggernaut. Is that right, Jason? You don't say the vowel? Or you don't say
oh,
the
I don't know. I stopped taking French after grade 9 after it stopped being mandatory.
And here we were thinking all Canadians were the same, speaking French and English.
Nope.
I tell you who can't speak French. People in Mexico.
That is true.
So, Hunter, why were you at the doctor's? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay now.
Okay.
Nervous breakdown, talking heads, no big deal. I'm all right now.
It's
I'm okay.
After what happened last week, huh?
Yeah.
It's
pretty, yep.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you back.
Yeah, the meds that they gave me are awesome.
Sweet. Speaking of awesome meds, have you guys played any old video games lately or what? Or what, apparently. Really?
I
both of you?
Yes.
Both
yes.
of you?
Okay. Yeah, I was trying.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I was being the polite Canadian and letting someone else go first.
Oh.
As opposed to the rude Canadian who runs up behind you and steals your wallet.
And your moose.
I hate that guy.
Moose thieves.
I love my moose.
Right. I've been playing... I found a Genesis game I'd never played before. It's called Crusader of Seti? Senti? Senti.
Never heard of it.
C-N-T-Y?
Seti?
Seti. Crusader of Seti. It's a Zelda clone, basically.
Oh.
It's, you know, the whole top-down kind of RPG-ish action, that kind of thing. One of the animations are really smooth. It's actually a really nice-looking game. The levels aren't crazy big that were to the point where you kind of lose your way and can't keep track of things. You can jump, so there's a lot of really cool like platforming jumping things to it. It kind of reminded me of Star Tropics in a bit, but with like a sword. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
The only thing that the other kind of cool thing was like you can talk to animals and plants. So like the way you learn how to jump is by talking to a rabbit, and he teaches you how to jump, which I thought was kind of neat. The only thing that really kind of pushed me off about the game is, and I've played a ton of Zelda clones, and the thing they seem to miss is when you swipe your sword, the arc that the sword swipe goes in. Like, so with Zelda, it's more of like a half circle usually, or no, like a quarter of a circle.
Yeah.
And like other Zelda clones, they don't do that for some reason. It's just like a straightforward swipe. So, you know, trying to attack an enemy when you're used to playing Zelda is very hard, and it's hard to get used to, and it's frustrating. This kind of has that outward quarter circle swipe, but it just looks weird when he does it.
Oh.
Like, it looks like he shifts his whole weight to the right to kind of bring it up and over. I don't know.
So it's realistic?
Yeah.
Lame.
How dumb is that? It's a fun game. I don't know how far I'm really going to get into it, but it definitely caught my attention for an hour or two, so it's nice. Got to be good enough, I guess.
What was the name of it again?
Crusader of Seti.
It's Senti. Okay.
Senti. Damn it, Jason.
I looked it up.
It's developed by Nextech Corporation. Did all the Time Crisis games.
Oh, okay. So, retro gaming trivia. Do you guys know the first... Oh, go ahead, Jason. No, I'm going to let you say it. No, no.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to let you...
All right, fine. Let me try this again.
No, I'm retro sorry. Gaming... I'm sorry.
Can we have an apology contest? Retro gaming trivia. Do you guys know which Legend of Zelda game was the first to incorporate that half-circle arc and not just have Link thrust his sword straight out?
So Link's Awakening?
Nope.
No. Was it one of the CDI games?
Nope.
Link to the Past?
Yes.
Oh.
Ding, ding.
Yay!
Woohoo!
I tell you what, Zelda 2, I'm still a huge fan of Zelda 2.
And that's okay.
Like, people always put it down.
Well, Pierre, who contributes on One More Castle, will frequently say that is among his all-time favorite games, if not his number one favorite.
Well, good.
Yeah. You two have something in common.
I guess. I don't like it now. I don't like people sharing my opinions.
Oh, you're one of those people.
I'm not, really. It's a fun game, though. It's a whole new challenge.
Jason, what have you been playing?
Well, after last week when I brought Marvel vs. Capcom 1, I decided to look into some, you know, book of knowledge information on Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Mm-hmm. And it turns out it does fit into our cutoff date.
Whoa.
Whoa. And I've been playing a lot of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's your biggest or
who's my favorite?
Who's your favorite? Yeah, who's your favorite character?
I'm really a fan of. I always forget her name. She drives like the green mech, throws serve bots.
Oh, what is her name? I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
You know. The annoying one.
Oh.
Oh. One of the things that I noticed in Marvel vs. Capcom 2 that I don't think is really apparent in Marvel Capcom 1 is Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is more of a button masher.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh, definitely.
Because, well, you've got your... Like, it feels like the Street Fighter characters, they still play like you're playing a Street Fighter game. But all the rest of the characters that they put into the game in the 2D fighting kind of thing, they just feel like button mashers to me. Like, Cable. Cable's like a super cheap character. It's like they didn't even think about developing combos and stuff for him. It's just like, let's just give him a bunch of moves and there you go. Let's move on.
Lasers everywhere.
Yeah. And that gun, that machine gun he's got.
Yeah. The character's name is Tronbon.
Yeah, I always just use Street Fighter characters because I'd rather be playing Street Fighter.
Fair enough.
It sounds to me like Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is the only place where you will find cheap Cable.
Wow. That is your episode title.
Cheap Cable.
Cheap Cable.
Thank you. God. Thank you.
It does have a better soundtrack than the first one.
It does. Take it for a ride.
I'm going to take it for a ride.
Just on loop for hours.
Yes. How about you, Bailey?
I did not slack off in the retro gaming department this week.
Whoa.
Right?
Is it over? Is the world over? Is that it? We're done?
Let's just say I can hear the hoof prints in the sky. That's a Horseman of the Apocalypse reference.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah, I get it. Whatever.
So I thought were going crazy for a second.
I could be. You'll never know. But anyway, I've been playing the NES and getting back to writing new reviews on NintendoLegend.com. I promise I won't be shamelessly plugging it for the whole episode, but I reviewed two vehicular games that I'm only now realizing they're both driving in nature. City Connection and Bigfoot. And to make a long story short, neither of them are much good. So there you have it.
Wow. Bigfoot? What are you doing, Bigfoot?
Bigfoot is not the name of the Sasquatch or Yeti or mythical giant ape creature, but instead the name of a popular American monster truck back in the early 90s.
Oh,
yes, you control Bigfoot in an across-the-country race against his rival, and there's overhead racing portions, and there's side-view challenges, but it's just very stupid. Let me give one example of how poorly this game is designed. In the overhead races, which can take a couple minutes to complete, neither vehicle can ever be more than a full screen ahead of the other. Like, even if you're at the very top of the screen, the bottom of the screen catches the other vehicle, never lets the other vehicle go off screen. So you literally can never be farther than a screen ahead of the other vehicle. Yet, being in front is an explicit disadvantage because you can't see what's coming, and some of the obstacles can instantly kill you or slow you down. So the first 98% of the race does not matter. You can set your controller on the floor and let the bottom of the screen just drag you until the very end where you quickly catch up and win. It's completely arbitrary, meaningless, gives no sense of fulfillment or fun whatsoever. It's really dumb.
That sounds very dumb.
Yeah, it's a really bad game.
Not a good game. Yeah.
Barefoot. That says our travels, Barefoot.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
Not in the game.
Oh, well, I mean, in the world of monster trucks.
Oh, you're familiar with the world of monster trucks?
You just made that up, didn't you?
No, I used to be a huge fan of monster truck racing. Oh, yeah. Monster truck racing was awesome. They used to have Saturday morning, like,
I thought it was
half an hour shows of it. Saturday? What'd I say?
Sunday!
Well, yeah, but I mean, they'd show repeats of the shows of
all
the races
on
Saturday morning. Yeah.
Gotcha, okay. Yeah, because in the game, the rival is the Growler.
That might have been before Barefoot.
Maybe. Maybe the game is where you finally kill Growler once and for all. And, you know, that's why they had to go with Barefoot.
I always liked the Grave Digger. He was my favorite.
Yeah, Grave Digger!
It was just neat because he was like a VW bug, I think. Or something like that. He was a van of some sort. Where all the rest of them were like trucks, you know, like with the bed and everything.
Ah, monster truck. So you were the kid they were marketing this for. Like, if you were a kid and you saw Bigfoot on the shelf, the big NES cardboard box, and that big monster truck on the cover, you would have been like, hey, Mom, there's a monster truck game! And then your mom would have bought it for you, and You would have been one sad child.
See, I was not sad. I was happy to have it.
Okay.
Because that's exactly what happened. I saw it on the shelf, and I was like, it's Bigfoot. I'm buying this. And sadly, $45 later, I regretted it.
Oh, wow.
Because I distinctly remember seeing it on the shelf, thinking, oh, I really want to play that. It's Bigfoot. I love monster trucks. And I told my mom I wanted it, and we didn't get it. And then, like, my birthday or something came around, she bought it for me. It's like, oh, sweet. This is great. And I played it, and it was terrible. And I was like, well, I'll come back to it. Maybe it's, you know, it'll be better. And then fast forward about 20 years, and I finally played it again, and it's still terrible.
You
should try Monster Truck Madness 2.
What's that for?
Came out on PC, and then they re-released it as Monster Truck Madness 64 on the N64.
Oh, man, that's probably not any good.
It was when I was, like, 8.
The worst is when, even as a kid, you can recognize that a video game is terrible. Because how often, as children, did we willingly sit there and play through a bad game? But when you sat there, and even as like a 8-year-old, still enamored with the magic of controlling something on the television screen, in that moment where you're like, well, this game sucks. Like, those were the truly bad games.
Oh, yeah. Those are the ones that stick with you.
Yeah.
What was it called? Stunt Racer FX? Is that what the name of it was? For the Super NES?
There was
it was the same thing with that game. I played that game. I was like, wow, this game is super slow and everything looks terrible and gross.
Yuck.
This game actually doesn't look that bad.
Which one?
The Monster Truck Madness.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Hey, he's playing his Gravedigger. Sweet.
Well, Hunter's hooked.
I'll be back in a half an hour. Right. Continue on without me.
In the meantime, do you guys want to handle a listener email discussion question?
Woo!
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Yes.
Woo-hoo. Okay. This one's from Dustin Faber. He goes by the handle 16-bit Catholic on Twitter. He actually has a podcast. I think I've been on it. That's fun. But his email goes like this. Love the show. BTW, how does the subject of best video game movie come up and nobody mentions Wreck-It Ralph? It's the best video game movie, hands down. Anyways, I have a question about video game music. Many times I find a way to incorporate video game music into my real life. For example, anytime I have to drive in heavy snow, which is about 3 to 4 times a year, I listen to the music from the Ice World map in Super Mario Bros. 3. World 6, I believe. And when I had to kill a huge wasp nest in my parents' barn, I cranked up the boss music from Mega Man 2 before spraying the wasps. Made the battle that much more epic. My question is, do you ever incorporate video game music into real-life circumstances? If so, how? I'll hang up and listen. Dustin Faber at 16-Bit Catholic.
Why, he picked the wrong crew to ask that question.
You think?
You guys hate the music in video games.
What? That is not true.
Hate it.
It's not true.
I don't. What? No.
You don't prefer it. No.
Okay. I know where you're going and what you think you remember I said. What I said was, I don't think music is as important in determining a game's quality as most people. But I still totally dig game music.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
In fact, I'll go ahead and go first.
Oh.
I will say that I used to love going to ocremix.org, which is, for those who don't know, it's a website with hundreds and hundreds of free MP3 downloads of video game remixes. They have some awesome stuff on there. And before I ever had like my own laptop or MP3 player, I used to download a bunch onto the house computer at my family's house and burn them on the CDs, and that's what I would listen to when I was driving or traveling. Now, I will say, Dustin, I never went as far as to match the music to my life circumstances, but I totally used to incorporate it into my life, you know, in the background while I'm doing homework or whatever. And now I don't do that as much anymore from OC Remix, but since we started doing the podcast, I love finding new guest artists that we bring onto the show and which ones I like. And a few of them, if I like the track they submit, I'll actually purchase their whole album. And those are the chip tunes I listen to various times throughout the week.
Nice.
So there. Yeah.
well defended.
Well defended. I'm kind of in the same boat. I really don't go out of my way to match things in my life. Like my ringtones on my phone are always 8-bit soundtracks from, you know, like theme songs from different games. Like I think the one I got now was Contra. So anytime that my phone rings, it's, you know, the first level of Contra, which is hilarious, especially in a work setting, you know, trying to sell somebody something, and you're wearing the tie and the button up, and then suddenly Contra starts playing. So that's, I mean, yeah. And then actually, Bailey, to also put a shout out to Chiptune Music, NESGuide.com.
Yes.
Has an excellent 8-bit radio station that just constantly plays.
Yes, they do.
You know, 8-bit music. And actually, when I was moving in to my house and I was unpacking things, I was had it playing on the speakers of my computer. And then when something came up and I was like, what game is that from? I'd go and look, and then I'd be like, oh, cool, I haven't played that, I should check it out. So
perfect.
But yeah, I don't go as far as matching thing. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I guess next time I reorganize a space, I should throw on some Tetris music.
There you go. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I like that. Yeah. It's good.
Yes. I got dinged.
What do you got, Jason?
Oh, God. What do I have? I'll be totally honest. I don't listen to a lot of game soundtracks.
Well, Dustin, thanks for sending in your question.
It burns.
It burns. It's a good burn.
Let me rephrase that. I have a very sizable music collection, and it's only until recently I started actually kind of taking more of a look into soundtracks as a whole.
Okay.
And what's really kicked it off is if anyone buys the Humble Bundles, they usually come with the soundtracks of every game.
They do?
They do. They come with flat copies of every single game.
I should try actually buying a Humble Bundle someday. I hear they're reasonably priced.
And they come in flak?
Yeah, man.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, yeah, the last one I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 9 flak soundtracks.
Huh.
So, huh.
Yeah. Huh. But I haven't actually gone back to the chiptune stuff yet. But I'm sure I'll get there eventually.
Cool. Hey, Jason.
Yes. Yes,
About a minute ago, did you sigh and then say, let me rephrase that? Because that was awesome.
Did I do that?
You were like, no, let me rephrase that. And it was glorious.
I can't remember doing
just,
that. But
just so
I
you
did.
Know. Just so you know.
All right.
I'm a huge Jordan.
I'll try to do it more often.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Don't ask me. I don't pay attention that much. So
that's all right.
Well, for real this time. Thanks, Dustin. I think all three of us would agree that what you do sounds super cool, and we shall have to strive to try and do that at least once in our own lives to match video game music to what's going on around us. I like it. I'm going to go ahead and challenge our listeners. Make sure you have some video game soundtrack going on in the background of your life. Feel free to leave some comments on the podcast page if that's something you do. You know, now that we're in a music mood, should we just go ahead and go to the interlude artist? Are we ready for that?
I think we're ready.
All right, rock it out. And we're back! That was Downtown, the 8-bit version, by Fat Nick. If you like that tune, you can download it on the podcast page. And if you look up Fat Nick, you can download the whole album for a couple bucks. And it's kind of neat because for most of the tracks, he has 8-bit and 16-bit versions of them. So consider checking that out. But now, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For new listeners or those who don't know for some other strange reason, this is the part of the show where each of us has secretly chosen a retro game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce the game we picked, and then we're just going to argue about it and fight about who picked the best game. But the most fun part is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite game of the three on a poll on the podcast page. So be sure to listen to the arguments. Hopefully one of us will sway you, and you'll get to vote for your favorite on the page. And just so we know, 2 episodes ago, guess who the winner was, guys?
Jason.
Jason! With,
aw, yeah.
With the Japan-only release Tetris 64, proving the theory that you can pick any Tetris game and it's just automatically going to win the Retro Showdown. Way to go, Jason.
Tetris.
I was actually really surprised. Some people even put like, wow, that biosensor thing sounds cool. And I'm like, are you nuts?
Yeah,
no, it does. Biosensor.
Ugh.
It beat out Weird Dreams on Commodore 64 and Loaded for the Sega Saturn. I mean, I didn't think Weird Dreams would win, but it's pretty weird, you know?
It is pretty weird.
It's, yeah. It is out there.
It is.
If it has anything going for it, it's that it's weird.
It is very strange. And Jason is our official timekeeper. So whenever he is ready with my 1 minute, I'm ready to introduce my game.
I am ready. You may begin.
So, in video games, there's an overused trope where you control a protagonist that has to kill every enemy by gunshot. Now, the game I picked is no exception. I picked The Punisher on NES, the 1990 release. But it's done in a distinctive way, different from any other game on the console. It's kind of a third-person from over-the-shoulder view, and you can move a cursor on the screen to shoot at enemies. And you can also move the Punisher in the foreground back and forth to avoid enemy gunfire. The gunshot effects are great. You can shoot at tons of stuff on screen, not just enemies, but also just the scenery to get new weapons and bonus items and health. And there's a few different boss fights, each of them more epic than
seconds.
The previous. And overall, I think it's a greatly underrated, overlooked game.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hunter, are you ready?
I am ready.
You may begin.
So apparently, since we can pick games that we don't own, I decided to pick the Super Spy, released for the Neo Geo in 1999. This game can only be classified as a first-person beat-em-up with action RPG elements sprinkled throughout. You play as Roy Hart, a CIA agent, who travels through office buildings and warehouses to stop a group of terrorists who are trying to blow up subways with bombs. Throughout the game, you can pick up a knife and a pistol, a machine gun, and you battle your way in a first-person perspective, punching and kicking and shooting and stabbing, getting upgrades, and stopping terrorists from blowing up subways. As you progress through the game...
4 seconds.
Son of a... Really? So you give Bailey 10, but I only get a 4-second break?
You sounded like you were winding down, and then you decided to launch off into another paragraph.
If I had a nickel for every time I heard that.
Would you have a nickel?
I'd have about 15 cents.
Wow. The Super Spy. That's my game. Jason.
Hunter. All right, I guess I'll begin. The game I chose this week is the classic arcade-style game, Snake. Originally released in the 1970s in the arcades, in the game, the player controls a long, thin creature resembling a snake, which roams around on a board, picking up food or some other item. You spend the game trying to avoid hitting your own tail or other walls that surround the playing area. The more you eat, the longer you grow, making the game increasingly difficult. But what platform have I chosen this for? You see, I have chosen it for the definitive Snake platform, the Nokia 6110. That's right. Snake for the cell phone.
4 seconds.
No, I had 14 seconds, thank you.
Ugh. My timer was off.
Snake cell phone.
Snake cell phone.
Wow. Okay, so we have our first Neo Geo game and our first cell phone game. Come on, Jason. If you're going to pick a cell phone game, why not just pick Tetris?
Did you say it was for the 6110?
Yeah, Nokia 6110.
Clearly inferior to the 6210 version, might I add.
I used to have this phone.
What?
Oh, yeah.
It's a good phone.
I wouldn't go that far. But, I mean, it was good for the time. It's time, yeah. I guess. I mean,
1997.
This is back before the terrible flip phone days.
Yeah, I have one of those.
Terrible. This style of phone, just a little piece of information for you guys, a little trivia for you, is called a candy bar phone.
Oh. Can you eat it?
Yes.
Okay.
Does it have nougat?
It is made with candy bar.
Now, shouldn't it be called a chocolate bar? It's not really candy, is it?
Well, yeah, I mean, wouldn't it be? I mean, I think, you know, I think it's one of those things where it's like all chocolate is candy, but not all candy is chocolate.
Oh, okay. I feel like we've had this discussion before.
We did, and I got blasted on the forums. Blasted.
Blasted.
Snake. It doesn't doesn't even have a colored screen.
Yeah.
You don't need color. You just need gameplay.
I mean, you could have at least picked, like, Nibbler from the arcade. I mean, cell phone Snake has got to be the worst Snake iteration there is.
I'd say there's worse.
Yeah, it's like the head of the snake is just dashes. And all of the apples or whatever you eat are asterisks.
ASCII Snake. Programmed in QBasic.
So, I'm confused. Now, okay, let me ask Jason.
Yes.
Have you played Snake on a Nokia 6110 before?
Yes.
Not. Wait. Information overload. Brain confused.
What a diplomatic answer.
Well, I was asking. The reason why I was asking because I don't. I mean, this was years ago, so obviously I don't remember. I'm sure I played Snake on this phone. But does your gameplay get interrupted if somebody calls you?
I believe so.
Yeah, I would think it would.
That's awful. I mean,
yeah, especially like if you're on like a high score run.
It is a 1997 cell phone. I don't think it's that great at multitasking.
Well, that's what I mean. If you're on a high score run and somebody calls you like your mom, and you're like, I mean, the second you answer your phone, you'd be like, "Mom, I'm playing Snake, and you killed it."
Yeah, well, if you wanted that, you just go into airplane mode.
I mean, you say that 1997 phones shouldn't have had that capability, but I can play a 1987 video game and never have to worry about a call ending my gameplay.
That's because you could never make calls.
I don't want to make a call. I'm playing a video game. I don't want to make a phone call. I want to play a video game. If I want to make a phone call, I'll use a phone. If I want to play a video game, I'll play a video game.
Yeah, this one lets you play a video game. Make a call, eat some candy bar.
I've gathered that. Thank you, Jason.
It also came with memory.
Yes.
Came with memory.
And a calculator and a calendar.
That's good. A currency converter?
Mm-hmm. Logic. Whatever game that is.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know what game that is.
You could play two-player mode using two phones and an infrared connection.
That is obnoxious.
That's pretty awesome.
So wait, if you're both playing and you both get phone calls in the middle of gameplay, this is...
No. What if you're both playing and only one of you gets a phone call? What happens then?
Oh, that's an excellent question.
Yeah.
It probably pauses.
On both games? I don't know. Yeah, we need some more information. We need somebody out there... With this phone.
With two of the phones, preferably.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you've got one, you know you've got two.
Yeah, you've got two.
So you fire this bad boy up, play a little snake, see what happens.
Bad boy indeed. That thing is rebellious.
That is pretty cool, though. That has infrared.
Yeah, that is kind of neat. I wonder why Snake was the only game that had the two, I guess, memory. What would you... Yeah. That's what I get for thinking before I talk.
Words
are Rocket hard. Pants!
Rocket pants!
All right, Bailey, give me your speech on Punisher.
I gave the intro, but if you'd like to talk to me, I have questions about the super spy.
Okay, well, I'll leave it up to you what you want to do first.
I would like to ask two questions. The first question is, so in the super spy, you have a combat knife. Sometimes, after you stab someone to death, the knife turns red on the blade, like their blood is still on the blade. Is that really necessary?
Well, it's more of a burnt red or even a brown because the knife is getting dull. That's how you indicate that the knife is getting duller. So when you do stab somebody to death with it, it's not going to be as effective. So normally, you know, you stab twice, the guy's dead. Now you got to stab like 10 times just to get him there. So
okay,
just like any other knife, that's pretty realistic.
You're stabbing. If you're cutting, I can understand it's dull, but you're stabbing.
Well, I mean, it's a huge like hunting knife. I mean, you're going straight to the bone when you're stabbing somebody with this bad boy.
But are you stabbing robots? I mean, people are kind of delicate. You can just slit their jugular without any kind of problem, you know? I mean, your knife's not going to go dull from just killing a few people. You'd have to, like, bone saw through a few dozen before you really have to worry about your knife not being able to kill someone real quick.
Well, you got to think of the arc that you're stabbing with. You're not doing a left or right. It's a stabbing motion. It's striking. You're going top to bottom. I mean, you're going to get...
I disagree. I do not believe I have to think about the arc. I think you're wrong.
Well, if you're looking for the explanation of a dulling of the knife, I mean, yeah, that's, you know, because you're going to hit bone doing that, you know.
Question two.
Yes.
So.
Question two.
It's a first-person game, but it's not quite a first-person shooter because you only have a gun sometimes.
Correct. Yeah, it's more of a first-person beat-em-up.
It's
kind of a hybridish.
More of a first-person watered-down Doom clone. Like, only a Doom clone a third of the time. Like, a Doom clone in which you have to talk to people and look at maps and use a flashlight.
Yeah. It's involved.
No, it's unfun.
It's unfun?
Who wants to shine flashlights and... type and look at maps and use devices and talk to people? If I wanted to talk to someone, I'd use a phone. But I want to play a video game. So I'm going to
play
a video
game.
Would
you use a Nokia 6110?
I would.
I would.
Well, I mean, Doom 3, there's quite a bit of work with the flashlight and talking to people and looking at maps.
So well received,
yeah,
wasn't
right?
it?
Yeah.
Well, it was well received when people complained enough to put the flashlight on the gun and have it on all the time. That was silly. That's where I draw the line.
Why is everything a palette swap again? I shouldn't say, yeah, it's a palette swap. All the enemies are the same again.
Well, no, well, Jason, there's two different enemies that have palette swaps. It's not just one, there's two.
I'm sorry.
There's the guys that have the masks and the guys who have the bigger masks.
Well,
right.
So when
this guy has a purple shirt and he has a brown shirt.
When you're making a video game, especially at this year, I mean, this is back in the day, so you've only got so much RAM and so much space to actually program the game on. You have to think, okay, because obviously we want more than one enemy, because then that's just boring. So are we going to sacrifice fun for uniqueness and enemies, or do we palette swap enemies a little bit to increase the fun? I mean, that's a conversation you have at every, you know, design
the
table.
This game is fun.
This game is a lot of fun. When was the last time you played a first-person beat-em-up with action
There's
RPG?
Last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, it's a lot of
in
fun.
In an alley when the hobo jumped me.
Wow. How'd that go?
Pretty
or was
good,
it cosplay? Because that's a little different.
Well, I'll tell you this, Hunter. I have enough RAM to ram the super spy down the toilet.
Oh, snap.
That's right. Ding it up.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
It was like a 4 out of 10, be honest. I can do better. I'll work on it.
Well, it's still early.
You know, it would have been nice if the developers of the Super Spy had said that to themselves. You know, this is a 4 out of 10. It's okay. We can work on it. We can do better.
But they never did.
They never did. Because if you want to talk about the memory limitations crippling the end result, let's look at Jason's game. There's a game where, I mean, ugh.
I'd say it's a lot more fun.
It's a close race, you know. Close.
Really? It's a close race.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so let's talk about Punisher.
Bring it.
Let's finally get this out of the open.
The Punisher!
One of the worst games I've ever played. And here's
so have you only played two games, the Super Spy and Punisher?
Yeah, and I'm sure I've played Snake on my Nokia 6110.
Yeah, man, so 6110.
So I need to bring up the music thing again.
Okay.
Because music to me is a very important aspect in a video game.
That's why you don't like it, because most of the gameplay doesn't have music.
And when there is music, it's some idiot playing saxophone in a crime-ridden area or a boat dock playing the saxophone where there's people dying all around him, and he plays the same song every time.
Yeah, it's,
he's committed.
Yeah, he's courageous. He's not stupid. He's a very smart saxophone player.
Well, yeah. you gotta think though, when you're playing saxophone on a street corner, you're doing it to try to get some money, right? It's kind of like a panhandling sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're in a street corner where people are dying around you and there's gunshots and stuff like that going off, I mean, you're probably not going to get anybody.
He's just being poetic. It's like a Scotsman playing bagpipes on the battlefield, you know?
And he knows he can pick the pockets of all the corpses left behind by the Punisher.
The Punisher!
It's very upsetting. It's hard to play this game for me because there is no music.
Hunter, I am so sorry that you are so shallow that even if a game had perfect gameplay but no music, you would think it was a bad game. I'm sorry that upsets you.
I wouldn't think it was a bad game. It's one of the reasons why I probably wouldn't play the game anymore. But, okay, so other than that, it's hard for me to play this game because there is no music, but let's move on, shall we?
Do you have to say Nokia 6110, or could you say, like, Nokia 6110, or maybe the Nokia 6110?
I'm going with the 6110.
I can't say the Nokia 6110?
No.
Would that irritate you?
That'd be wrong.
Jason? Well, if that's wrong, then I don't want to be right.
Can we get back to me, please?
No one cares about your game.
Ugh.
In all seriousness, your game looks incredibly annoying just to navigate.
Oh, snap. You went there.
How so?
It's a first-person brawler, and it's not like the movements are fluid. It's not like you can strafe, and you're literally on one axis.
No, you can absolutely...
rotating left and right.
Yeah, no, you can't can absolutely rotate. Duck and weave and block and dodge. You can do all those things.
It's not Punch-Out. It's a Neo Geo game. It's a first-person perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand. You can absolutely. That's one of the best defenses in the game, is ducking and dodging and weaving out of the way.
Yeah, but you can't turn.
But the weaving out of the way isn't like a good weaving out of the way. It's literally just rotating. Your perspective.
But it's not even rotating. I mean, it's like you're on a rail, which is kind of ironic, you know, considering Hunter picked the game.
It's like a game that fails to be a rail shooter.
Wow.
Wow. And let's face it, it's tough to screw up a rail shooter. I mean, you're on a rail.
I beg people to go and watch a video of this.
Yeah, it's great.
Please.
It's awful.
It is super fun. There's strategy to it.
Yeah.
It's not like The Punisher where it's just an endurance game.
No, it's not. In The Punisher, you get bonus points at the end of every level depending on what you've shot and how many of the enemies you shot. And depending on the percentage you score is whether you get your bonus gun, bonus health, or other bonuses for the next level. You cannot slack off.
That sounds very complicated.
No, it's an endurance game. There's no way you can dodge bullets. He moves way too sluggish.
Yes, there is. If
it's
you
too
go,
slow.
There's a little website called youtube.com, youtube.com.
I'm watching it now.
If you
hold
go
on,
there,
on. You're
there,
talking too fast.
There
talking
are
too fast.
Deathless runs on Punisher. There are games people have recorded on which they have never died in the whole game. They'll beat the whole game without dying.
Yeah, that's because... It's because they keep pushing health out like it's going out of style because they know you can't dodge out of the way.
No.
So as long as you're shooting the enemies and shooting some trash cans, you're going to get health packs. You're fine. Yeah,
no,
I can probably.
Hunter, I hate to break this to you, but it just sounds like you kind of suck at it. Because when I play, I dodge probably 90 to 95% of the bullets shot at me.
No, and that's impossible.
It's not impossible.
It is absolutely impossible. You cannot. He is way too slow.
If you shoot, no, listen. If you shoot the guys when they first appear, they only have enough time to get one or two rounds off. Plenty of time for you to dodge it. Honestly, it's like a shoot 'em up. You ever played a shoot 'em up game and dodge the bullets coming at you?
Nothing. It is nothing.
It is
this
more
game
like
would probably
it
be faster on the Nokia 2110.
That's
or 6110.
See, that's just stupid. You're not even thinking about what you're saying. I mean, it's like Galaga or Space Invaders. You travel left and right at the bottom of the screen, dodging all the incoming projectiles. It's the same principle. All
right, Bailey, I challenge you. I challenge you to record video gameplay of you playing this game to really see how much you dodge these bullets.
I'm watching one now, and the person's dodging.
I challenge you.
I will add that to my to-do list. I do have some videos I need to do, so... Punisher... NES.
And bullet, I will count, and I can challenge. Guarantee you will be below 20% in dodging.
Really?
Absolutely.
You think 80% of the bullets will hit me?
Yes.
You are on, my friend. I can do that. Hunter thinks
he's
80%.
He's too slow. He takes up 30% of the screen at the bottom to begin with.
You.
And he's too slow moving around.
I'm beginning to think you don't understand how numbers work. Because 80% of the rounds hitting you, you would die within the first fourth of the first level.
Because there's so many health packs. There are so many health packs. You get a health pack like every other guy you kill.
Hey, I like...
How could you not die?
By letting 80% of the bullets hit you, for one. Also, 30%. It's not that big. That's like a third of the screen. It's more like...
Dude, he is huge.
No, it's for like 15%, maybe 20%.
And he's so out of proportion, it looks like he does roids. It's weird. Like his muscles are as big as his head. That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
He's a pretty fit guy. I'm just saying, you know, he's the Punisher.
He's overly fit.
The Punisher. Overly fit? There's no such thing.
Sure there is. I just said it. There has to be.
Oh, just because you say something doesn't mean that something has to be.
Wait,
no,
of
course.
That's
like saying that the Nokia 6100 when you're playing Snake is amazing. No, that's impossible.
It's amazing.
It is
one.
It
it's
is
Snake.
Not amazing, Jason. You be quiet.
It's
Snake.
A
it is one of the Snake is one of the most boring games ever created.
Oh, amen.
No, it's not. It's fantastic.
It's boring.
It's almost as boring as that old Windows 3.5 game that came out, the skiing game.
Ski Free.
That game is one. It's right down there with it.
What, really? You don't like Ski Free?
Oh, it's boring. It's like a 5-minute game.
No, it's not. It's an endurance game. If you survive for 20 minutes, you can play for 20 minutes.
No, once you get past a certain point, that little, the Sasquatch thing comes and eats you.
Well, you just gotta outrun him, man.
You can't. He comes on after you've gone so far in the game. It's like so many whatever, however it's measured. He'll just come out and eat you. You can't avoid him.
You can for a little bit. I mean, not like forever, but you know.
It's pretty quick.
Well, it's a classic game.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've played it. I'm just saying it's boring. The Punisher is an endurance game.
Isn't every game technically an endurance game just to see how long you can survive? I mean,
isn't that a point of a game?
Your game is an endurance
game,
Hunter.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, it is. What about your game, Hunter? How is your game not an endurance game?
Because you have tactics. There's weapon upgrades.
There is literally no tactics.
In order to
dodge,
survive.
You can
In my game, you
can dodge and weave.
You can only go in four directions in your game, Hunter.
Well, sometimes you can only go in two.
In my game, you can go two.
That only go in two.
Well, yeah, sometimes you can only go in two. Left or right, up or down.
It's literally pivoting on an axis.
Literally. The axis exists.
Literally.
And you're pivoting on top of it.
Yes.
All right, Jason, do you have any critiques of the Punisher, or are you completely okay with it?
The Punisher?
Yeah.
I'll agree with Hunter that it should have music. That's really lazy on half of the developers. It doesn't bother me, though, because, music. But again, it's lazy. It's right. Very ugly. It's hideous.
Let him go. Let him go.
It's not hideous.
It's pretty. It's pretty ugly.
It is pretty.
I just paid $60 for this type of thing. It's very repetitive. Mind you, you spent less on this than you would have spent on the Neo Geo copy of Super Spy.
Oh, amen.
Yeah, can it's super expensive.
Can we talk about Neo Geo prices?
Oh, man, no. The system alone, even used nowadays, you're going to end up paying $400, $500, $600 for it.
Ugh. Easily.
And this game is one of the early releases, so it's even more rare. So even if you can find a copy of it, it's mind-boggling.
And even brand new, it would have been $120.
Oh, at least.
Oh, geez. Neo Geo. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was an incredible system from a technical aspect. But
well, the whole idea of being able to play a game in the arcade and then buy the game to play on your home console, and it's a 1-to-1 comparison, like, that's amazing,
right?
And if you love 2D fighters, man, this is the system for you. Like, they've got so many 2D fighter games, it's unbelievable.
Well, it sounds like you should have picked one of those.
Yeah.
No, I decided to go for Super Spy because it's fun and unique.
Unique is a word for it.
Uniquely disappointing.
Yes.
Unique. Super Spy.
At least it is an average.
What's wrong with average? Does every game have to be mind-bogglingly good?
No.
Then what's wrong with average? I'm average.
If it's...
Well, okay, I'm sorry. I'm a little below average. Let's be honest here. It's a little below average.
I think you're way above average.
I do suck. Dang.
In some respects.
I mean, yeah. I met my wife when I was, hammered.
That's okay.
If she likes me when I'm hammered, I mean, it was a home run. I was like, oh, wow, this is, I'm done.
You marry that girl.
There you go.
6 years later.
Aw, happy Valentine's Day, you guys.
happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day, guys. You guys want some chocolate-covered grenades?
Yes. Can you send one to my house?
Maybe.
Can you ship one to Canada through customs?
It is a grenade.
I think so. I mean, no, it's not active chocolate, I mean, yeah, the grenade is live. It's not active chocolate.
It's chocolate that's been disarmed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay.
So it should be just fine.
The munitions disposal team has dropped by and taken care of the chocolate.
I'll send it in pieces. That way you can assemble it yourself.
Oh, perfect. So, final arguments. Hunter. Why should any listener vote for Super Spy for the Neo Geo in the Retro Showdown poll on the webpage?
Well, so you should vote for Super Spy because it is a fun, unique, first-person beat-em-up with action RPG elements that everybody should play because it's fun.
Okay, and Jason, why should any listener vote for Snake for the Nokia 6100 on the podcast page?
You should vote for the Nokia 6110 version of Snake, because it is the definitive version of Snake, and allows two-player mode using the IR connection.
That's pretty ridiculous. That's
pretty awesome there.
That's pretty absurd.
That puts the biosensor to shame.
Wow. Jason, I have this fear that all of your games are going to combine into some kind of sentient robot that's going to take over the world with its biosensor IR connection Bandai Scottie Pippen powers.
Oh, if only.
Tank nice. Legs. Rocket tank pants, legs. Lawnmowers.
And tank legs.
And tank legs. Well, listeners, I think you should vote for Punisher on NES because I know it's an LJN game and that publisher has a bad reputation, but the Punisher is a great example of one of their better efforts. There's only one or two other games in the same genre as Punisher, and you can actually pick which of the levels you tackle in whatever order you want until you meet Kingpin at the end. It's a lot of fun, fast-paced, you can shoot everything. There's totally more tactics even than in Super Spy. So vote for the Punisher. The Punisher! Well, quick shout-outs for Ben Landis. Thanks for letting us use your intro and outro tracks. Thanks to the interlude artist, Fat Nick, for his 8-bit version of Downtown. And do you guys have any shout-outs, Hunter?
You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My blog is ericmhunter.net, and I swear I will update it soon.
Cool. Jason, how about you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb, and I'll give a shout-out to... the Nokia Corporation.
Really? Really?
Really?
Wow.
Without them, wouldn't have the winner for this week.
That's okay. Good grief.
Oh, wow. All right. If you want to follow me on Twitter for some reason, I'm at Nintendo_legend. My blog is NintendoLegend.com. I'm slowly working my way through reviewing every American released NES game. And I'd like to shout out the listeners to the podcast. Thanks, you guys, for constantly participating. Remember, you can vote in the Retro Showdown on the podcast page. You can send us emails, podcast@onemorecastle.com. Send us any comments you have or questions we can actually use on the episode we'll talk about. And one other quick website note for One More Castle. We have some cheap advertising deals going on. So if I'm not going to go into specific numbers of how many visitors we get or what the rates are, but let me just say it could be a steal for you. I'll just put it at that. So if you want to take some interest in that, email me, Eric, E-R-I-C, at onemorecastle.com. If you want to be an advertiser and sponsor us, that would be really cool, and we'll make sure to put you in front of lots of people. And listeners, if anything, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!